Give me Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Somebody left the water bottle here. I don't want to trip that. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Praise the Lord. So the topic of my exhortation today is going to be, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now, that is at the end of the book. So you can say from the beginning to the end, God is telling us, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And what are we going to inherit? You can look at the scripture chapter 22. The Bible talks about the new Jerusalem, the city of God, the city with the streets of gold, and we shall glow, we shall be as angels. God himself will be among us. Let's read just a few verses of that. Chapter 20, starting from chapter 20. And he said, I saw thrones in verse 4. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. So that is for the saints. We are going to reign on that. And I'm going to go to chapter 22. So you can read the rest of the story. Water of life flowing through this city. And the Lord said, he that overcometh shall inherit all these things. So you need to know what you are inheriting. Then you need to know that there are some things you need to overcome. That's what we are going to talk about today. What do we need to overcome to enter this promise of God? Now you can look through the whole book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. The Lord Jesus Christ revealing to his church the challenges that is ahead, the promise he will give to those who overcome. And you can summarize that quickly for them. To the church of Ephesus, what are they to overcome? He said they are to overcome this thing, secondary love. He said first love is very important. All the secondary things that is diverting your attention, well, you are going to overcome those. He that overcometh, then he gave them a promise. To the church of Smyrna, told them persecution is coming. He that overcometh. What is persecution? The opposition, the enemy, those people who don't believe are going to persecute. Say, he that overcometh and does not deny me. To the church of Pergamos, he said there's going to be false doctrines coming among them. He that overcometh. So then he said to the church of Thyatira, false teachers are going to be among them. He that overcometh. So these are just summary of some of the things we also are going to have to overcome in our generation. To the church of Sardis, you have to overcome apostasy. He that overcometh. To the church of Philadelphia, overcome all weariness, that is, don't slumber. I mean, just hold firm till the end. He that overcometh. To the church of Laodicea, say this spiritual pride, he that overcometh. So you see, we all have to go. We have a lot of things we need to overcome. Now, we can also that is what the Lord gave to the churches. We can also summarize what are we to overcome when we look at our life, at the life of the church, at the life of individual. We're going through a journey. It's like going through a journey through a jungle to a city. So in that jungle, there are going to be some obstacles. There are going to be some confrontation. But the bulk of it is going to be called the devil, which is the enemy, the flesh, which is yourself. So when you talk about overcoming, everything the Lord just got listed there is going to have to do with yourself. You're going to have to overcome yourself. As you're going to overcome Satan, with Satan does not have power except he's going to use you against you. It's going to help you to amplify that thoughts, ideas, suggestion that's going to bring you down. So you have to overcome. When we say overcome the devil, know it too, the wiles of the devil that you are trying to overcome. The devil is always going to try to help you to defeat yourself. So then, the one you really want to overcome is yourself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now let's go to the book of 1 John chapter 2. Apostle John gave it in another form of a summary of what we are going to have to deal with. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 and 16. So talking about overcoming these things that we are going to have to challenge, or it's going to challenge us. In chapter 2 verse 16, it says, love not the world. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, the word love is what he used here, but he's going to change it in the next verse, because you can't use love when you come to things you don't really like. You change it to lust. In verse 16, so what is this world? He said we should not love. For all that is in the world, now you see, the lust of the flesh. When you say, well, that's in the world, that's in you. That's in you. The lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes, you see, that is also you. And the pride of life, and that's also in you and in me. He said, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. So then, you can categorize all these things we are saying we have to overcome in those three groups. Overcome the lust of the eyes, overcome the lust of the flesh, overcome the pride of life. Now I'm going to go slowly. This is going to be a teaching, so that's why I'm taking time. We're going to point right so Bible verses that if that's going to help you. But we're going to it's going to be like a teaching. That's what I always try to do. The Lord is saying the body of Christ, we need teaching, the discipling of one another. Now I said the lust of the eyes, if we point to the lust of the eyes, there is a tendency for those who are listening to say, yeah, I know that brother, I know that sister, he has that lust of the eyes. I mean, you shift the blame to somebody else. If you talk about the lust of the flesh, yeah, people, you shift the blame to somebody else, because people are always judging other people. But let's talk of the pride of life. This is going to be, if we are going to go through all of this, it's going to be serious. It's not going to be something we can cover, because I have a bunch of things on lust of the eyes, a bunch of things on lust of the flesh, a bunch of things on the pride of life. But I'm going to start from the pride of life today. We may not get to the others today. Because then you most likely shouldn't be looking at that, you shouldn't be pointing to that brother and say, shift it to that man, to that sister. If you look in the mirror, that's the pride of life. It's right in you and in me. Praise the Lord. And this is the very delicate one, the pride of life. Why? Because that was how Satan fell. That was how Satan fell. So he knew that I can use that. He said, Satan has some tools. If he tries this against you, it doesn't work. He will try that. If that doesn't work, he said, I can always try this one. That they kicked him out of heaven because of that. Isaiah chapter 14. Pride of life. You remember that was what he used against Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So all we are talking about here today, don't feel condemned. This is not condemnation. This is to learn from what happened in the past, so that you, that's why Christ said, he that overcometh. He told us as body of believers, he, individual now, don't say that church. People are always thinking that church, they are not good in that church. It's not the church, it's you. Even if that church is so good, so perfect, by the time you join them, they are no more good. Praise the Lord. That was all. A pastor gave that testimony one time. He said, one member of a church came in and tried to accuse him. All those people in that church, they are hypocrites. And I went to tell the pastor, all the people in those churches, that's why I don't want to come to your church anymore. They are all hypocrites. And the pastor said, okay, before you leave the church, let me do me a favor. What it is? Take this glass of water, and I want you to go through from the inside, go through and go around the church and just go out. and don't let it spill. And that man took the glass of water and went through one eye to the other eye. And he said, did you see anybody as you are? He said, no, I couldn't see anybody because I concentrated on the water. I don't want it to spill on your carpet. He said, that is how you should be when you are in church. Concentrate on the water, on Jesus. You won't see all these people. You say, that's hypocrite. That's hypocrite. That's hypocrite. That's hypocrite. But you are concentrated on them. You are not concentrated on Jesus. So I said, that's a good sense. Make some sense. So that's why I said, let's go on to this and look at the hypocrite from on the in your mirror. That's the pride of life. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, if you go back to this, I'm going to go to the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is where we are going to. When you look at the tool the devil has against mankind, that was what he used in the Garden of Eden. Came to Eve and said, did not say you should not eat of the fruit of the garden? He told them question. I said, no, God didn't say it. He says, this one, this tree that is in the middle, we shouldn't eat. Don't even touch it. And what did the devil use? He said, you will not surely die. God knows that in the day your eyes will be open. You will be as God. Hey, that's pride of life. I want to be as God. So the devil used lust of the eyes, because the Bible said he finally saw the fruit. So he started pondering upon it. So lust of the eyes brought pride of life. I want to be as God. You will be smarter than everybody else. So when we say pride of life, the devil will come in so many flavors that may be so subtle you don't even know it is pride of life. And that's what I'm going to point to, a little bit of them in this brief exhortation, so that we can wash unto ourselves. That's really what is this all about. Guard yourself. And how do we overcome these things? The word of God. Because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ used. Let me go back to the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. See, the devil came. He saw that God has created the first man and the first woman. And he went and said, well, I have to use something to break this bond between them and God. So he came and tested them with the pride of life and lust of the eyes. The woman fell for it. Also. And then the man fell for it. Why will the man fall for it? That's a different story. Because that's going to come in another place here when we get to that. Because it's still the same thing, the devil is still working. But he came against the Messiah and said, now this is the new Adam. This is the new Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ. So he came after the Lord has fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So he started trying every tool. The first thing he tried was what? Lust of the flesh. Now you are really hungry and you have this power. You don't need to go miles before you get food. Turn the stones to bread. Say, well, what's wrong with that? If I have the power and I'm hungry, lust of the flesh. The body wants food. Are you going to satisfy the flesh or you're going to do the will of the Father? That is the key. So Jesus Christ didn't fall for that. Then he did the lust of the eyes combined with pride of life. So that should always work. Work against Eve. So he came and said, well, look, I will. Let's just make a deal right now. Took him to the man and see all these kingdoms of the world. That's lust of the eyes. See New York. See Paris. You will be controlling all these things. Cities that have not yet been, showed him the vision. So I have authority over all this and I will give them to you. You will be ruler. That's pride. You will be the ruler of all these things. All you need to do is just bow and worship me. How many people are selling their soul right now? In fact, there are some accusations whether they are true or false. You want to be the president of America? Just join this club and sell your soul to this devil. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in America. People want power. I'm just jumping ahead right now. People want power. There have been some accusations. They want this supernatural power. They pray. God does not seem to be giving it, so they went to voodoo and get some. Why? The pride. You see, the devil will tempt you with anything he could tempt you with. They want to voodoo. And then people say, when they got that voodoo, they just do, and people fell down. Did they get healed? No, it's just voodoo. And things are happening all over the world, and people think, well, that is the power of God. God can do those things. We are not saying God cannot do them. But there have been some accusations that some people actually got those through voodoo in Africa. And those are all going on. But see, the devil is using all those tools that he has. Pride of life. If you will bite it, he will give it to you. But you see, you know where they are going, they are offending the Father. But let me go step by step to what is this pride of life that the devil used. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't bite it. Why? Because he knows that he owns everything. Well, not right now, but he knew he owns at the end also. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. What did he use? The Lord used the word that has been written. It is written. That's how we are going to overcome also. It is written. You must speak it out. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Amen. But see, let's go a little bit deeper in this thing called the pride of life. Some of this can be classified as desire for fame. Desire for fame. It's going on even among unbelievers. The devil is only concentrating upon the believers. He wanted to get the believers down. He wanted to get those who are high up down. And you want to watch and guard against yours. Guard yourself against all those wiles of the devil. Desire for fame. It's one thing the devil will use. If he sees that you have that longing, that desire for recognition. I remember a pastor in this country, in this place that I used to hang around, play tennis with. And I read in some of his little brief article that he said that some of his soul conference were chiding him that you are never going to become anybody. Do that your something. And I saw that because of that type of pointing finger at him that he has been in this pastoral thing for years and nobody knows him. So you can see you desire to be recognized. Very soon he saw the opportunity, and then he was kind of testifying to me in one place and said, now he has fellowship with the bishop, the Catholic bishop. They have breakfast together. I saw where that was going. And I said, look like the way he was describing it, he's got that thing he has been looking for years. See, desire for fame. The devil will use it against anybody if he sees that you long for it and you are not getting it. Now, let me point to two things that normally happen. Sometimes the lack of something can be your temptation, can be your test. Abundance of it also can be your test. That is, you can be tested with money, to have a lot of money. You can also be tempted with lack of money. You say, how is that? Solomon said, he said, give me neither poverty nor riches. That's the wise man Solomon. Why did he say that? He said, lest I be fool and say, who is God? I don't need him. Come. I was preaching to somebody in Arizona. And he said, why are you preaching to me? I don't need God. Go preach to the poor. They are the ones that need God's help. That is how riches can make some people offend, because they think God is only for those who needed help, who needed money. Say, go preach to the poor. No. Of course, if they are poor, does not mean they are automatically going to heaven either. Because someone said, lest I be poor and I steal and take the name of my Father God in vain. Look at it in the book of Proverbs. Let me give you that Bible verse reference right there. I think I read somewhere there. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Let me give you the verse in a moment. I already read somewhere. Verse what? Verse 9, okay. You can put it out there for people to see. Say, lest I be full. No, you start from verse 8. Verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Verse 9. Say, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So that's why I said, Satan can test you with both the left side or the right side, but you must guard yourself against both, because you can be thoroughly very wealthy. I know a guy that I was talking to some years ago because of so much money, and he now felt, yeah, if God gave me more money, he will marry more wives. The Bible told the kings that they should not accumulate horses and chariots, even women. And Solomon messed up on that. And what did he mean? The women. Solomon said, how did the women? He had so many of them that by the time he got old, they were pulling him on this side. Build me a shrine for my city on this side. And he couldn't resist them anymore. So that is excess. The same way with lack of not, you know, if they don't have it, they can also go into sin, fornication. I mean, desperately looking for something. So that is why the Bible said, neither poverty nor riches. Give me food convenient for me. But let's go back to what we are talking about, the pride of life. I said, desire for fame is one of the things the devil used. Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. Let's see some of the wisdom from the Bible. Apostle Paul said, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. This vain glory, the desire of it can begin to make you offend, because it begins to cause provoking. Envy can come from that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. What is all this vain glory? Self-glorify. You want this respect. That's another thing. Desire for acceptance. Desire for recognition. See, all those things, they look like they are things that come from not demons yet. They are coming from the inside of you. And the devil sees that, the devil amplifies it. And create atmosphere that will make it show for that. I don't like that fellow. You may say, why? You may say, is that because you yourself have problem, not disturb that fellow. Oh, look at how she dressed. And you think it was because the way she dressed? No, it may be because you are jealous. But see, those are all the things the devil will use. Why do you see the way he dressed? Maybe they will just amplify some jealousy in you. And those are all what will cause that. Maybe yourself wanted to be recognized, you wanted to be accepted. Young people, college students, that is a biggie for many of you. We call it peer pressure in the colleges, in the high schools. You want to be accepted by these cool guys. Are you listening to me? You want to be accepted by those cool guys. There's a video where one Christian young guy in high school, and he wanted to be accepted, and he has been trying to preach to them, but you see, all these drug pushers, they always push him aside, he's small. But he wanted to be accepted by them. Don't try to be accepted by them. Be unique for Jesus. And that is what the Lord is talking about, because that is where pride of life, you may not notice it's pride, you say, well, pride looks like those things. No, I'm not pride because I'm small. Yeah, but you see, pride is in the heart. If you feel like I need to be accepted by them, this boy went to their high school kids, and one of them is having a birthday party. He shouldn't have been there, but he said, well, my classmates, so he went with them. And he was sitting among these boys. These are the bad boys in the school. Somehow they wrapped this thing, marijuana, they wrapped it, and they are smoking, they pass it around there. He was sitting among them. And you know, this Jesus freak, and it gets to his tongue. They are looking at him. Smoke it. Smoke it. And fortunately for him, he was bold enough to drop it and walk out. And they laughed at him. Also, they're going to laugh. But why was he there in the first place? He wanted to be accepted. Don't try to be accepted by these boys. Hey, I'm looking at you. President, I'm looking at you. You are the president. I'm looking at you. Praise the Lord. Because he introduced himself as the president. So now I'm looking at you. You should be looking at you. I want you to listen to me here. Don't be trying to please them, because that peer pressure is very important. It's very dangerous in the midst of high school. When the Lord delivered me, that was the first thing I noticed. When the Lord delivered me, that was the first thing I noticed in my life. That I was no more afraid to tell anybody of among my so-called bigger boys and bigger guys in the college. I mean, the fear, the want to be accepted by them was no more there. And that is why I'm pointing that one out to you guys, peer pressure. And another one, you say, what am I talking about? This is recognition. The devil uses that a lot. Desire for recognition. Desire for acceptance. And you say, is that pride of life? Yes. Because what is pride? It's for you to be accepted. Look at the story of King Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, King Saul, after he was made king, they already made him king. Yeah, but when he became king, some people said, who is this guy? How is he going to help us? So they despised him. So they say he kept the school. But see, that thing affected him. So he's trying to get accepted by everybody. And that was what is the reason for his dilemma in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 15, verse 24. Put it up front for us. King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15. This was where he offended, because he wanted to please the people. He said, when Saul came and Samuel confronted him about, why didn't you do what God told you to do? This is what he said. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and I was, because I fear the people. You are the king and you are fearing your subjects, and I obey their voice. He wanted to be accepted by the crowd. Look at chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. You see where it started. Chapter 10 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 10. Verse 26. Therefore, after Saul was made king, announced by Samuel that this is going to be the king, Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Verse 27. Then the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. That was where he started feeling the pinch and said, gee, I need to be accepted by everybody. So now when it comes to chapter 15, you can see what he was trying so hard to please them. And if you're trying so hard to please people, you're going to offend them. What did the Bible say about the friendship with the world? The friend of the world will be enemy of God. Say, why is that, Lord? Let me be friend with these boys. Because the friendship with the world is enemy with God. Because the devil is in the world. That is the reason. The devil has got all those people in his hand. And as long as you want to be friend with them, the devil will find a way to make them want you to disobey your God. So come and join us. That's why the Bible said friendship with the world is enmity with God. So this desire for recognition, desire for acceptance is dangerous. The Lord can deliver us, but you have to ask him for that deliverance. When he gave you a new life, those are the things that snap. Get them out of you, because you are not going to try to please men, but to please your Father God. Also, desire for promotion, desire for high position. These are all the tools that we call pride of life. The promotion, everybody wants promotion also. But see, the desire of it is the point we are talking about. That can make you want to do something wrong just to get it. And that's what the devil is going to use to make you, to try to slide you. Desire for promotion or desire for a high position. It's happening in the world among unbelievers. It can also happen among believers, because the devil is going to try to trick people, even in trying to look for a job. I remember when I was still in college, I was still just a church goer then, and one of these, what do you call it, lab assistant, a lady, she actually confessed her experience in Lagos to me. After she confessed it, and I was in university with her, after she confessed it, she said she felt better that she told somebody. That was how desperate, how that thing was affecting her. What happened to her after high school? And you all know, many of you that are from Africa, you know what is going on. Looking for a job. Even we boys that are looking for a job. And you finish high school, you have nobody, you don't know nobody. And you went to, and it's still happening right there in America. Went to Lagos. Maybe staying with a relative, you know, nobody, maybe just a driver. I was like that. I was the only people that I knew in Lagos, they were drivers. No, this I go drive for that kind of people. So they can help you get a job. So this girl told me her story, just trying to empty her heart to somebody that will listen. She went to Lagos, she got a place, and said, "Oh yeah, I will give you a job. Come on, I will have to do personal interview. Meet me in my house." All these guys, whatever they call themselves. Personal manager, what the man said he is. That's what he was. She went, and the man said, "Well, before you can get this job, she has to commit fornication with him." She said she tried to say no, but in the end, she needed a job. After she committed fornication with this man, the man said, "Well, meet me in the office." Got to the office, said, "Well, geez, see, this job I have, somebody has taken it. This other department, that man also has a position open. So go talk to him." They are trying to pass her from one place to another place. She said she started crying. She had to leave Lagos and go back to her village. She was from the Oshun area and so on and so forth. Somebody finally introduced her that, "Hey, I will know somebody that is in University of Ife that can help you get a job." That was how she got the laboratory assistant job when I was still in the second year. But that was going on in Africa. It's going on right here. If you have read the story, people will go to Hollywood. They want to make it. Go to Hollywood. Young women, young men. And if it's young men, they either pass some money. It's good in Africa. Pass some money just to bribery. It's the same thing. It is the desire for promotion, desire for high position. And the devil is using it against everyone that he can bite. Are you going to bite? Are you going to stand for Jesus? Are you going to stand for Jesus? There's a video that I recommended. They call it the Seventh Street Theaters. It's like a drama that I recommend that the church will get for these young people, that they can use for evangelizing, for making them to see. In that little drama, similar thing happened, where this lady was saying, "Oh, you are going to be doing advertisement for us, just advertise and advertise over the state and so on." "Okay, what do you have to do?" "Just put on this costume. That's the costume. It's $11,000 just for the television commercial advertisement." But when she got this costume, no, she believed her. She said, "I can't put this on." "So, well, you are going to lose $11,000 and the woman put the costume down and went away, refused to put on that costume. "Are you going to sell your soul just for money?" She says she realized, "This is not going to please God for me to put on this costume and put me in a camera and everybody looking at that, trying to advertise whatever they are advertising." No, she refused to take that. So that is an example of people you can stand your ground and refuse to budge. But you see, the devil is still trying it. Desire for recognition, desire for promotion, or desire for high position. Those are all the tools the devil will use against believers. They stand your ground. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Let's talk about some of the other things that that's not 1 Samuel, that's Isaiah chapter 14. That's the story of Satan. In Isaiah chapter 14, I said the devil uses this particular tool against anybody that will buy. Isaiah chapter 14. See what the Bible says about Satan himself, how he fell. Verse 12 to verse 15. Now this is prophecy or what has already happened. See, art thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Art thou cut down to the ground, which has weakened the nations? For thou, verse 15, or verse 13. For thou hast said in thy heart, listen to that. Thus said, thou hast said in thy heart. Satan has not implemented it yet. But God searches the hearts. So when we are saying, all of this, someone say, well, gee, I have not done anything wrong, but do you desire it? Desire for vain glory. Desire for high position. Some people are interviewing people on Christian TV and said, how much do you think they can buy you for you to deny your Christ? How much? Suppose they offer you $1 million, will you deny Jesus? What about $1 billion? How much are you worth? That's how much can they buy you? You say, well, if you decide that, well, if they give me this much, that means you are already in error. Even though you don't even get the money yet. In this country, there's what they call, trying to remember, if you attempt to do something, attempted murder is murder. I mean, that's, amen. If you just attempt it, you don't have to, well, I really didn't do it, it doesn't matter. You attempted to rob the bank, or you attempted to defraud IRS, or you attempt alone. And God is saying, even if the desire is in your heart, I say the desire of iniquity is sin. So that's why we need to wash our heart. We need to redeem the time. We need to crucify the flesh, like the Bible said. So when the Bible said this thing came to the heart of Satan, thou hast said in thy heart, well, as he's taking the steps, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will still planning it or desiring it. But God has seen it. God has seen it in your heart. In fact, it could be a test for you. How do you respond to this thought that comes to you? If you like it. That was what happened to Eve. The devil didn't have to stay there long. He just suggested it. You will be as God. You will not die. And the devil left. But she was pondering upon it. The Bible says she started thinking about it. Don't even think about it, because that is how you may fall, just by accepting the thought. And you didn't say, no, God forbid. And reject it. If you don't reject it, you are already in error. You don't have to implement it. Praise the Lord. So that is very important. So you see what they, and you see the same thing in Ezekiel chapter 28 about another cherub. People assume that's the same Satan, but see, there are so many cherubs that fail. So it could be one of the cherubs, not really Satan. But he said that Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. Put it up front. Talking about a cherub, he said, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. What? Till iniquity was found in thee. And then verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And so on, verse 17. He said, O covering cherub. Verse 17. Thy heart. See, that's what we are talking about, is from the inside. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. So that is where we have to wash unto yourself. Guard your heart very jealously. Guard your heart. And remember, the word of God is what we use against the devil. Speak the word of God out of your mouth when the enemy brings the thought, the idea, the suggestion to you. Speak the word of God to combat it. That is how we are going to overcome. He said he overcame the dragon by the word, the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. This story came to mind. This is a story that another preacher said the Lord showed to him how the devil normally attacks people, and even believers if they are not careful. Even believers if they are not careful. And the Lord showed to this minister in a vision somebody that this minister knew that was a pastor's wife. Very pretty woman, according to the description. But the demon came against this woman like a little fly, landed upon her shoulder and whispered to her ear, "Oh, you are so pretty." Maybe she was looking at herself in the mirror, thinking, doing all the hair. And the devil said, "Well, you are so pretty. You have just been, you have wasted your life here. You should be singing in the pub houses." The woman was a singer. She sang in the fellowships and in all those camp meetings. "So you are just wasting your life here. You could have been rich, popular." And she recognized that's the devil and said, "Get lost, the devil." And the demon fled. But see, the devil does not give up. That is the danger. That is where you don't give in either. The devil may come 7 times. You better stay 8 times. Don't stay at 6. Don't let him get you in the 7th. The devil may come 10 times. You make sure you are standing still 11 times. I mean, more than him. According to the story of this vision God was showing, this was a vision the Lord was showing to this minister. He was taking the Lord, telling him to pray for this woman. He said, "No, you can't pray for her because of what happened." The devil came back many months later, landed upon her shoulder again with the same line, whispered to her heart, "You are so pretty. You are just singing in churches. You could be making money, popular, if you are singing in the pop houses." She recognized that again. She said, "Get lost, Satan." And the devil fled. But the devil didn't give up. And that is what we are trying to warn you. Resist the devil how much? Steadfastly in the faith. That's what the Bible says. Continuously in the faith. So the demon came back maybe some months later. The same thing, the same line. "You are so pretty. You should be singing in the pop houses and make money and be rich and popular." And the woman started listening, started considering that. The devil got her. Very soon, they will be fighting in the house. Very soon, she left her husband and went, joined the pop house singing. And that was what the Lord was showing to that minister, that even if she still repented to the point she didn't want Jesus anymore, because she got money, she got fame, she got everything she wanted. Desire for faith. The devil uses it against anybody that will listen. But you don't want to give in, because the end of it is what? Lake of fire. Hell. What does it profit a man or a woman if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? That's a message that we should all remember. The Lord Jesus said this, and ways, let it be the most important thing. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So there was an accusation that said Obama must have sold. Well, the people that supported Obama were the homosexuals. You don't know, go and read the story. There was one billionaire, and he said he was homosexual. Pump money behind the Democratic Party. That's why he was promoting homosexuality. And some other people say, well, many of these presidents, they joined this club in Yale or whatever these places. If you are a member of that club, you can get there. Whatever it is, those are all clubs that can be occultic and so on and so forth. What does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Well, you will be there for president for 8 years, and you're going to trade 8 years for eternity. It's no more there, also. So that is why the word of God is serious. Say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Like the story of that woman, that she lost her soul because she said she didn't want Jesus anymore. She wanted money. And things like that can happen, but you see, it is a warning that don't let your beauty. That was the story of this Kiru. The Bible said that by your beauty, you corrupted yourself. And Jesus said, I will cast the cherub. And people said, that's of Satan. It could be another cherub. There are so many of them that fail. That Satan is just one of them. So that is one of the reasons why we say, how can we overcome all these things? How are we going to overcome all these things? We are only talking about the loss, the pride of life, which is one of the big things the devil will use. How are we going to overcome all these things? Whether it is fraudulent ways to get money, or is it bribery ways? See, all of those things are still what? It's still like you are trying to promote yourself, you're trying to get this position, you're trying to get this job, you're trying to get this thing still. Whatever is the way the enemy is suggesting, you have to resist the devil steadfastly in the faith. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, I said, because we are getting close to the, I'm going to wrap it up right now. I said, many of us could have fallen prey to the devil in one way or the other in this test, trial for pride of life, desire for fame, desire for promotion, desire for position, desire for recognition, and all those with desire for vain glory, even desire for the power of God, desire for the power of God, or desire for the for my ministry to be well known. There was one Nigerian, I don't know why he said, yeah, Nigerian, that sent something. They said, he was telling everyone that he became so well known, he was flying from here to there, preaching, teaching, and he said, thousands of people. I read his story, I don't know whether it was true or not, but that was his story. He said he would fly to Switzerland, a packed place with a well known, of course, and they started telling the problem he was having with all this popularity. I mean, you have to be popular for them to invite you to come from Nigeria and come and preach to us in this and so place. Whether it was just motivational speakers, whatever it is. But see, there, those are all things, all of those things also come with their, what do you call it, cost. So he was telling us what it's costing him. But if you have fallen to any of those offenses, or look at the one that is very common among unbelievers. They will treat the, especially younger people that are trying to get married. Oh, if you really love me, we have to sleep together to know that you are going to get, you are going to be able to have a baby. And the devil sold that lie in the 80s to many people. And they said, I don't want to lose that man. I don't want to lose that boy. And they succumbed to it. It is the lie of the devil. Lie of the devil. And after they got what they wanted, they find a way to break. Those are part of the lies of the devil. Or it is bribery that's going on in Africa. You got to get this, you want to get this money, you want to get this job, you've got to bribe. It's going on among all the senators in Nigeria. In fact, there was one in America here, if you have a corporation or you have a company and you, there was one that was announced and I said, I didn't know about this one. Somebody, American, tried to get contract from Nigeria, some of those senators, and the US government nailed him. They nailed him. You are, even if you are just an employee of a corporation here, you are, and you are going to be the one to negotiate, you are not allowed to take bribe. And when I saw the mention the person, they mentioned the corporation is trying to get something from a Nigerian government or Nigeria something, and it become underground, giving them money. You are giving them money in Nigeria for them to give you that, give your company that thing. U.S. government will nail you. It's going on. And when those things happen, it is still the same thing. Desire for promotion, desire for money, desire for fame, glory. And the devil will use it against believers also. I was just pointing it out. But if you have run into any of those in the past, it's just one day. Today you can confess to the Lord. And he say he is forgiving. And you can always just say, you are as if you have never done anything wrong. Say, go and sin no more. That's what Jesus Christ is telling us. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. What did he say? If we confess our sins, Christ is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The goodness of the Lord was that when the Lord was showing that move, testimony to that pastor, he said, if this woman that has gone away from her husband, gone to the world, if she came back and repented, God said, I will still accept her. But she refused. People try to go to her to bring her back. She refused. But God said, if you confess, He is faithful to forgive, as if you have nothing wrong. John chapter 8, verse 11. Remember this story? So because you see that Christ has not come to condemn mankind, He is coming to save us. John chapter 8, verse 11. Remember the story when they brought a woman that was caught in adultery. In the very act, it's how the Pharisees said, hey, we caught this one. We don't need any witness. We caught her in the very act. But they didn't bring the man, so he said, the man ran away. And the Lord Jesus said, after they said, anyone that is without sin among you, throw the first stone. And nobody could, so they all left. Jesus Christ said, as anyone condemned, he said, no man, Lord. Jesus told her, neither do I condemn thee. But the key thing is, go and sin no more. So that's what he's telling everybody, go and sin no more. But you need to know that the devil is going to use all of those tools. The pride of life is what we talk about. You can talk about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. Sometimes you combine the two of them together to try to bring somebody down, like he did to the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, it is written. It's your weapon. Find what the Bible said. The Bible said, I shall not bow to any man. That's what Jesus Christ said. Worship the Lord your God. And that is the word of God. And the devil will back off. And he will try again. He never give in. He will try again. But you have to stand, keep standing, keep standing. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Remember, we are to crucify the flesh. God said, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. So once we come to Christ and we repent and say, Lord, yeah, I did that long time ago, just to get that promotion. I bribe, I put it under the pocket, just to do that. Lord, forgive me. I repent. God said, He will not even remember it anymore. Men can still be pointing it to you, but don't forget, don't worry about them. It is the Lord you want to please. Let's stand to our feet. It is the Lord we want to please. Let's stand to our feet. We can go on and talk about many other people like 3 John chapter 9 or 3 John verse 9. Because this has been going on even in the body of Christ, the first church age. Apostle John said there was one man called Diotrephes. Say he loved the preeminence among them. What does loving preeminence mean? Desire of vainglory. Very soon he wanted to be the one dictating in the midst of the congregation. That's another thing he did. And Apostle John said he heard, because by loving the preeminence, very soon is coming against Apostle John, Diotrephes. So we want to make sure that if we have allowed the enemy to trick us in many of those ways, we want to ask the Lord, Lord, I repent. Is it desire for vainglory? I repent. Is it lust for power? I repent. Is it lust for pleasure? I repent. Is it lust for money? I repent. And the Lord is able to, He said, you wipe it away that you never ever sin, go and sin no more. Just talk to the Lord yourself. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. In this race, it is Christ in us that can make us win the battle. Because the devil is still looking for whom and who he can slide off the road. But we are to resist the devil steadfastly in the faith. And we have overcome. But you see, the way we overcame was written for us by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. So, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this exhortation. Let it burn in our heart, Lord, that we will search our hearts, search ourselves as we look in the mirror to watch. He said, he that has this hope in himself, purify himself, even as he is pure. Help us to purify ourselves, especially in this way of this pride of life that the enemy uses against people. In all the temptations we try, help us to stand. He said that we are to pray that we will escape all those evil things that are coming upon the world and stand before the Son of God. So pray that you will stand, because that is how the devil tries to make you, that make sure that they don't stand. But we want to stand before Christ, pure before Him. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now prepare your offering as the praise group leaders in some fellowship.